Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am, of course, as always, very grateful, very, very grateful to be with you and have you with us on this May 31st day, 2020. The year is rapidly going by, I think. Maybe it's because I'm old, but I see it rapidly going by. And with everything that is happening in our country, in our world, it gets really, really interesting. This is the most interesting of times, and that's what the Chinese say. May you have interesting times in your life. And we do have them. Believe me, obviously, you see it. There's a lot going on. So my emails have almost doubled, and I'm very, very grateful that you care to bring me into all of this with you, and maybe I can help you. You know, it takes a very unusual person, someone of a unique tone and tenor, to be able to navigate through all of this. And there are those of you out there who are of that ilk, and that is wonderful. And then there are those who are seeking that ilk, and I always try to help that kind of individual. That's the one I'm most interested in, the one who's not going to live by the pedestrian mentality of hate and fear. So we're going to look at more is less, living with less right now. And this is a very, very difficult time for a lot of people. So let's just get into it. Our first question is from James. He lives in South Carolina. James, I do not think I have ever had an email from South Carolina in my entire career. So this is really interesting. He says, I'm living and learning how to live with less income than I have ever had before. My living less is the new more. I've heard people talk about that. Could you please comment, James? There is something about not being occupied by wanting more. There is something in all of that. There's something magnificent about it. Most people miss the less is more thing because they have so many needs and wants, and they've set their life up to be in proportion to their body's desires, their mind's ambition, their pride, their vanity. Most people have set up their life for comfort and the idea of risking everything for the sake of comfort seems to be the pedigree of a lot of people in this world. They live off of that. Their ancestors lived off of that. And so here we are. I am amazed at what people will do, you know, in this pandemic. Buying guns is one of the things that amazes me the most, as if that is going to change anything or help anything. There's all sorts of things that people do when times get difficult, and these individuals seem to, instead of getting simpler, get more complicated. So, James, the less is more mentality is huge. And those of us who can adapt to that and understand it and are willing to do and have less than what we used to do and have, and when I say do, I mean the things we do to have more, we come into an interesting place in our life where we really, instead of looking at failure and success, we tend to look at it from the point of view of what liberates us and what does not. Everything in our life comes into our living either to liberate us or to show us what we need to do to be liberated. Liberated from the society, the culture, the government, the whole thing. That liberation is within. The less you want, the less you need, the more you will see, the more you will recognize, the more beauty there will be. Now, I'm not saying that you should have less. I'm saying those of us who have less than what we had, let's say, at the beginning of the year, we could take it in one of two ways. You can take it like it's a terrible thing, it's not fair, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if you use it right, if you really, really can use it right, if you can use it as a way to understand the nature of your own life, now something is going to start clicking. Something is going to start changing within you. You're going to start recognizing what is important and what maybe isn't that important. And when you understand that, that is a very valuable piece of information. Now, I'm going to get into it a little further here, James. What accelerates our growth? What accelerates our inner growth? Most people don't have the acuity to understand inner growth. What does that mean? To learn to be able to see the field, James, to be able to see that which is authentic and that which is not, that which is, that which ain't, as I always say. You start to see things in the light of a priority that is beyond the convention of human preferences. You start to see things in the light of what's really important. And of course, the human ego, the hubris of us, does not want to get involved in any of that. Most people live in an ego, a hubris that is telling them that they need this, this, and this for not only social reasons, but to have the personal confidence that most people require or think they require in order to live in this world and to have the things they want as a premium, as a proof even, that they are worthwhile people. It is difficult. We complicate our lives. And it makes us work harder. We have children we can't afford. We have objects and things that are expensive as far as upkeep is concerned. We want things that maybe are not a part of the way, the truth, and the light of our life, and we're not willing to make sacrifices for awakening as we would for, let's say, political, social, and financial gain. We're out of order. And that's my point. James, most of us are out of order. Out of order with what is happening, out of order with life, because we live contrary to life. Before this pandemic ever started, there were a lot of us in this world living in disorder as human beings. A lot of us people are human beings. Most of us, I would say. We don't live in the order of love. We don't live in the order of understanding the nature of our body, the nature of our mind, the nature of all of this. We just don't live in the order. And what do I mean by that? James, we have to find our place in this world. Not all of us are here to be the king of Siam, the queen of Sheba. We're just not here for that. We have to find our place, and then we have to live in that place consciously, willingly, and kindly. What is that place? It's not always what you want to be. You're not always going to be important, and those who think they're important are going to find that they're not. This pandemic is really showing us a lot of things about what we've achieved, really achieved. Those things that we have achieved that we can take with us through death, those are the most important things. But we're not paying attention to all of that. Most of the time, we're just living in the confines of our desires, of what we think we want, of what we think is most important. And all of that stuff has to do with what? Getting what we want and living for what we want. If anything, this thing is teaching us to live simple. and in a loving kindness that is beyond the precepts and concepts of the American way, which is to have more, get more, and to lie and cheat and steal till you get it. When I was younger, if a politician didn't tell the truth, they were done. I mean, they literally were done. You would never see or hear from them again. But now it is looked at as, well, I just didn't spin it the right way. And the lying is an art. And that's the way we have become and are coming. It doesn't matter that our leaders lie to us. It matters that the spin wasn't correct. And then that leaks down to the populace, who is always looking for a fast, quick, easy way to get whatever it is they want. So, James, your question is a very beautiful one. Less is more. When you truly understand that and you can abide in it, you will find your place in this world. And that place will be beautiful. That place will be productive. You have to sit quietly and wait. Wait until you can hear the guidance inside you. And I'm afraid that the majority of people have too many worldly responsibilities and pressures to be able to take that time to really listen to the way, the truth, and the light that lives in them. So we run the whole thing of just being so frustrated. We don't care about our health. We don't care about other people's health. And we just do what we have to do to earn a living. And I understand that. A lot of people in this world are going to die. It's just the way it has to be. And that's the way of human nature. And we're learning more and more about it as we go along. So, there he is. Not a very spiritual answer, but certainly a very spiritual answer. Please forgive me, James. And I wish you well. Stay safe. Namaste. He wrote a really beautiful email to me, and I was very touched. South Carolina, that's pretty cool. The next question from Carol does not tell me where she lives. I'm afraid of having less. It scares me. And then dying. That scares me too. What do I do? How do I try to get more? I need more. Carol. You know, I'm going to say something so outrageous that you'll probably turn off the radio program and never hear me again, and that'd be okay. But it needs to be said. We're going to die. There are going to be many of us in this country who are going to die of the virus. We are. It cannot be avoided. And if you're deeply afraid of your death, then it's going to be even more difficult. You say you're afraid of having less and then dying due to trying to get more. It's going to happen. And you've got to decide, Carol, what you want to risk in this life. Now, many people look at it as a catch-22, and it is the candle being lit on both ends and coming together. It all leads to death, whether you live for the sake of trying to save yourself from the virus. Eventually, you have to go out there and earn a living. If you don't, I guess you go out on the street and live. And if you go there, there's a chance to get it. And so no matter what, no matter where you turn, there is always that wonderful chance of getting the virus or not. It just depends. And I know what you're going to say depends on what. And I'm going to tell you, it depends on how you've lived, what your karma is, and the state of your inner being. If we live in a tremendous fear, we won't see our place in this world. We won't understand what we are here for. We will take unnecessary risks and die, or we will take necessary risks and die. Either way, we have to face dying. We have to face the whole thing. All of us do. Everybody's trying to help those who are sick. And that is a wonderful thing. And I'm all for it. But you've got to understand, death is there. And no matter what we do, no matter how many vaccines we get or whatever we get to stay the cause of this, we're still going to die. If it isn't one thing, it's another. It matters what you do with your life. And here's the bottom line. It matters what you will risk your life for. If you risk your life to survive, that's what many do. And I can't say you're wrong because I don't believe in that right-wrong thing. You do what you do. But there will be consequences. If you risk your life for the sake of your own inner awakening, that you can take with you through death. Your awakening, your inner awakening, is more important than your outer survival. And few people can deal with that fact of the matter. In fact, that is what we are facing. Are you going to come out of this like you went into it, with no better a point of view, no better an enlightened attitude? I have friends of mine who are going through this, obviously, and there are two types. One who eats their way through each day and has gained a ton of weight because they're frustrated, and they watch a ton of movies or read books or play video games that have nothing to do with the stature of their spirit, the quality of their loving heart, have nothing to do with it. They are not challenged to become different people. Then I have those who are working out and trying to do things to take care of their body, but they're not working on their inner life. They're condemning politics and religion, and they're doing the whole thing, you know, the whole shoot and match. And they too, you know, are not going to come out of this thing with anything substantial. The way to come out of this thing with something really important and substantial is to find out what you are, what your place is in this world, the state of your kindness, the state of your forgiveness, the state of your basic generosity to do those things that make love possible. What has been most important? Has there been some self-examination? And for the most part, there hasn't been. For the most part, people just look at their life, go from one thing to another, trying to occupy their life, their mind, their brain, so they don't have to think about what's going on, so they don't have to be in fear of what's going on, but they're still driven by fear and still are, of course, fearful. So, what to do? How are you going to live through this? Are you going to come out the other end, forgive me for using the term, as the pedestrian mentality would have you, the same or worse, more hateful, more fearful? Or are you going to do that born again thing, to be awakened, to be born of a quality of love and the spirit of loving kindness? What are you going to turn out as? How are you going to deal with it? That's the real motivation. That's the real key. Most people are going to take the low road. It's the easy road, the one most traveled. It's what people do. But if you want to do something that's really unique, something really, really different, maybe this is a time to fast and pray, as Jesus talked about. Praying is not praying like in a verbal sense. It is about changing your life. Prayer is the way you live your life. Not what you utter for your life, the things you utter and beseech for to your God. Prayer is the way you live. So maybe it's time to fast from the way we have lived, in our cruelty, in our unkindness, in our pessimism, in our doubt, in our fears, in our logic and our reasoning that supports the very worst part of us all the time. Maybe that would be a more intelligent way to go about. Ain't gonna happen, I know. Anyway, there's my answer to you, Carol, and I hope you take the high road. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, this is an interesting one. This person does not even want me to use their name, so I'm not going to use that. I don't know them, just FYI. My husband, he can live with less, no problem. But me, I can't. The thing that is bothering me the most is I don't get to do my routine. And then she leaves it there and she says, please answer, please, please. So when you do a please, please, I'm going to answer you. Yes, I don't know anything about either of you. So remember, this is all a hunch, an intuition on my part. So take it for a grain of salt with all of that being said. Wanting less than what is not the way. Wanting what is happening now is the way. Wanting more than what is happening now is not the way. You have to accept where you find yourself. This is just the basic. And as Lhotse said in the Tao, disgrace comes with having a body. With the body comes a lot of very crazy things. And we're experiencing them now as we go about our daily living. There are many things about our life, our daily living, that are very difficult for us to deal with. And those things have to do with the idea of what we have to go through. And sometimes it seems humiliating what we have to go through because humiliation is a very big part of having a physical body. It's youthful in the beginning and supple, and then at the end it becomes rigid, hard, and wrinkly, and you don't even know who you are. So you start to see all the things that you've been through, that you have gone through in your life. You start to realize, what were they really all about? What was I really doing? You were setting yourself up for the humility to come. The humility that usually comes via the hand of humiliation. It all depends on what you want to believe, what you want to think, what you want to do, the state of your life. How do you want this thing to end? When couples are having arguments and they come to me in session with them, I always say the way to end it is very simple. Just ask the other person, how do you want this thing to end? What is your vision for this whole deal? And then you start to see what you want instead of the answer that is right there. We have to yield. This is a time of humility, not arrogance. And we don't like humility in the West. We don't like the humiliation that comes with humility. But all of us are learning lessons of humility right now. And they are very important lessons. And if you're very smart, you will welcome all of these lessons. And no matter what the humiliation is that you might be going through, you will go through it as though it were something that is going to add to the stature of your heart, your authentic heart, which it will. And it will change the way you operate, not only in the world, but operate within yourself. Because that's really what it's all about, living in love. Gotta go. This is a great question. Thank you. And thank you for listening. Namaste. Well, I'm out of here. I hope this weekend helped you. I really do. And If you ever have a question, you know how to reach me, greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Go take a look at our offerings on the website. I think you'll find them interesting. We've got programs there, radio programs, all sorts of things to help you. They're there just for you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.